A little bit warmer, not much. High of 74. Clear on Wednesday night, down to 50. Thursday, sunny and 80 degrees. And by the way...
This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Morning Conversation, a presentation of Concrete Builders Supply. State Senator Floyd Przanski, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Carl. Good morning.
I want to check back and get your perspective of last week's special session of the Oregon State Legislature. Kind of paint a broad brushstroke, first of all, and talk about how you thought it went, good or bad.
Well, I mean, we had 3 days. We went in on Wednesday. We did committee work and no floor work to speak of in the sense of taking votes until Friday. That was pretty aggressive in the sense of the number of bills. If you remember, the governor called us in for two reasons, the COVID-19 response as well as police accountability. So those are the two subject matters. I was honored to serve on the special committee. This is a joint committee between the House and Senate that basically saw all of the bills that were being proposed through the committee and then went to each of the chambers for votes. So my days were very busy, and I thought it was successful for the reasons that were there. The COVID-19 bill was an omnibus bill that basically had like 11 different parts dealing with stuff, such as specifically, I think the biggest, well, they all were big, but the biggest one for me was making sure we had the ability for the courts, state courts, to be able to operate in a safe manner and ensuring that the courtrooms could be opened up for allowing people in to take care of business.
So what were your thoughts about kind of the tone of the session?
It's one that I think everyone resigned for being there. There was a lot of apprehension, I think, for a lot of people because of the issues around COVID and how it spread and what we were going to actually see as to how the Capitol would be set forth, as to taking care of business and at the same time providing the safe distancing. That worked pretty well for the Senate because there's only 30 members. There's, of course, less desks that are on the floor. We were able to, we had experts and medical individuals coming in doing the inspection of the building before we came in and giving guidance to the facilities as to what they needed to do. So on the Senate side, we were able to stay on the floor and we could, as long as we sat at our desk and they removed the extra chair next to our desk for our aides, etc. You could stay there while we're on the floor and still have that safe distancing. Virtually everyone wore a mask that was on the floor while we're on the floor, with the exception of at least I know of one senator that did not, and his aide. But everyone else, R's and D's. And I thought it worked well for what we're needing to do. As you probably know, the Capitol has been closed to the public. That was one of the contentions of some individuals thought that we should have it open for anyone to come in. But since the Capitol has been operating as in a closed setting, what we did is what we've done with the legislative day hearings, and that was to ensure that everyone who wanted to see it could have access to it either through the internet or actually having viewing stations outside of the Capitol so people could actually participate and in the hearings and actually ask questions.
So did you get any questions from those outside viewing stations?
We did not. And these situations for what we were doing on the public hearings, we did have some, but I don't know if I can tell you they came from the viewing stations. Unfortunately, I'm kind of having a blank here as to exactly how each of those went. But we did have individuals making comment to us and getting information, but that was over, from us. We were at the internet connections, and I can't tell you where they were calling from or coming in, if they were on a home computer or if they were outside the Capitol or the viewing station.
So do you feel like that met the sort of the framework of Oregon public meeting laws?
Yes. You know, of course, we had a lot of research that was done by our Judiciary Legislative Council and other staff, and it was determined that what we've done for the special session is pretty much what we've already have been doing for the Ledge Day type of informational hearings, and that was meets the standard. Clearly, when we're doing the informational hearings, there's not public testimony, but there's invited testimony. In this particular case, we did have it opened for those who wanted to have, you know, make public comment. And all indications, I've not heard anything that was negative about it. And because of the duty of the state to maintain safety for and health for everyone, this was the best approach that we could take to ensure, you know, access, and at the same time ensuring people were not going to be in a, I'm going to call it more of a mass gathering area that would not be able to socially distance.
As a prosecutor, what were your thoughts about some of the issues on police reform?
Well, I think it's one of those issues that we need to move forward. I've supported all of the police accountability bills that we had, but I made it very clear in the 33-plus years that I've been a prosecutor and still serving in that capacity. I've worked with hundreds of troopers, police officers, and deputies, and the vast majority of them do their job professionally and ethically and high morals. And so I, you know, it's one of those situations we need to deal with. How do we hold people accountable? And everyone, no matter what your profession is, should be held to a standard. And there are individuals in our society that have been persecuted and have actually had discrimination on them based on the color of their skin. And so what we're trying to do is ensure that we have a system that everyone can believe in, feel, have faith in, that they're being treated equally just like anyone else, and that for those who are not abiding by the standards of ethics, do we really want those individuals to be serving as law enforcement officers? So some of the bills that we took on actually now has a requirement that the disciplinary actions that are taken regarding a particular officer, that they're more available for public information, as well as making certain that agencies that are hiring an individual that has been a police officer somewhere else in the state will now have a duty to actually review the personnel files. You know, this is one of those situations, as a new employer, you need to do due diligence, and I think it's very important, I think, for, let's say, a city, to ensure that they're not bringing in a liability that is going to cost them money out the front door because they're not performing their job as in the ethical moral standards.
Not on the table in this session, and a lot of Republicans at least thought it should have been, was some issues related to the state budget because of the shortfall of income due to COVID-19 and all the related issues that it's brought on. What are you hearing about the next special session in terms of timing to address those issues?
Well, I spoke with the governor a week and a half ago regarding this because I was kind of taken back that we were not doing any type of budget work. She made it very clear to me, and she's made it very clear publicly, that she feels that she needs to have as much information knowing exactly what's going to happen from the federal government. The feds will be, meaning Congress, will be taking their summer break mid-July, and there is the high potential that we're going to see a second CARES Relief Act, similar to the first one, coming out of Congress in mid-July. And so what she has shared with me and what I think the plan is, sometime in the latter part of July or the very, very beginning of August, we would have that special session dealing with budgets and follow up on some of the other areas that we need to continue some work on.
Does it sound like Congress would get through that before they take off on their break?
Well, that's the anticipation. I have not spoken to DeFazio directly in over a month, so I have not gotten his hit on this. But the individuals that I have spoken to think it's very likely, because of the pressure that's happening at the state levels across the country, that they will, in fact, have to act before they take their summer break. So, you know, that's the plan. Either way, we need to come in, and we need to come in sooner than later, because we're going entering in tomorrow the last year of our biennium budget. And the longer we wait, and with the cuts that need to be made, it's going to just amplify the percentage of cut that needs to be made across the board, or, you know, identifying different agencies, different programs that are going to be hit. But as you can understand, Kyle, the longer we wait, the more of an impact it will have, because it can't be smoothed out over like 15 months versus 12 months or 8 months.
All right, out of time for now. State Senator Floyd Przanski, thanks for being on this morning.
Kyle, thank you very much. Hope you have a good day. Be well.
844 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.